This is Those Who Show Up Decide with Paul, Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez, creating storms of thought wherever he goes, flooding his environment with provoking personality and persuasion. He doesn't want you to think like him. He just wants you to think. He knows that only those who show up decide. And now for your host, Master Sergeant Chez.
Good morning, sports fans. How we doing, Alamogordo? Definitely another tough weekend, here in the Big Basin. I, as usual, am recording this on Friday evening, about 12 hours actually before it's actually going to be playing on on the website tomorrow morning. So it's about 9 o'clock p.m. right now, and no bragging intended, but I have been working on the exact same story all day. I went to Lowe's Grocery this morning, bought a gallon of milk because I needed it for my coffee. I make my own espresso here. Got back in the truck. It was, I want to say, about 8:30, 8:40 in the morning. Pulled out onto 10th Street to go back to my house. And a police car, just as I was pulling out, lit up their lights and took off heading east towards the mountain. And as I looked up the street, I saw another police car light up as well. By the time I got back to my house, which is right behind the police station, I heard sirens, police cars coming from everywhere. Now, I don't normally chase down incidents and fires. So I went, you know, I said my usual mental prayer for all those that they're going out to do, you know, the guys that are guys and gals that are going out to hopefully rescue people and save property, etc. Went in my house when virtually immediately my phone started blowing up, and some of my listeners and readers started letting me know that one of our iconic landmarks, a place called Kids Kingdom, for those of you in our national audience, many towns across America have similar playground areas. It's one of those huge castle type playground equipment type deals where kids can go upstairs and crawl through holes and slide down slides, and it has ropes and nets and all of that stuff. And so that here is called Kids Kingdom. I know of others across the country that are called the same, but this one's right here in Alamogordo. It's on Oregon, right by Indian Wells in our city. And yeah, I started getting informed that Kids Kingdom was engulfed in flames, which was stunning to me because it is one block from my granddaughter's house. And basically, since she's been born, we've been taking her up there and walking around the park with her. And as she's grown older, she just turned three last weekend, that has become her place to go play. And in fact, I think my granddaughter thinks the name of that place is actually Harmony Land, not Kids Kingdom. But she just loves that park. Well, I run outside and I look towards the northeast, and there's a huge cloud of smoke coming out of exactly that area. So I hopped in the truck, got up there as quickly as possible. As I was walking up, I saw my granddaughter's father and my granddaughter were already up there, and she had seen the fire. And so she knew that her park had burnt down or was burning. And I told her I would talk to her later about it. And I ran up there and got on the live feed. And if you want to see the play-by-play, I got about 54 minutes of video out on my page, Those Who Show Up Decide, that you guys can scroll down and watch. And it's, you know, from when I got there, which was probably about 30 minutes after the fire had actually started. And in fact, most of it had already been put out by our fire department, and they were getting down to work it on the hot spots and flare-ups. For those of you that are familiar with the park itself, Kids Kingdom, you'll know that the structure itself was at the north end of that park area, and just before the what was a fire station on the corner of Oregon and Indian Wells. Now that particular firehouse hasn't been a fire station for a few years. The fire department uses that for their code enforcement people with budget cuts, resources, etc. There are firehouses that the fire department doesn't use, and Chief Ward has allocated his resources across the city to do the best he can to cover his entire city, our entire city, with the resources available. That particular firehouse has not been manned by firemen in a very long time. So when I started, and I'll talk about the comments I saw in my video later, a lot of people were commenting, how come they didn't see a fire starting right behind the firehouse? Well, first of all, even if there was firemen there, they're not necessarily looking out the back window at Kids Kingdom. But there weren't fire there. In fact, the reports I'm seeing is that the first reports of the fire actually came from a detective, one of the detectives from the Alamogordo Police Department, that saw the fire begin. And that's when the first responders engaged as the public began to call into 911 and report it. So either way, I got there about a half hour into the event. Most of it was put out. They were going around putting out all the flames. So back to description. The north end of it, so if you know Kids Kingdom, you know that the north side of it was the actual castle structure. It also had something that was labeled as a space shuttle and that type of thing. And if you can remember, you'll remember at about midway through the structure area of the park, actually at the south side of the structure, just before you got to where the bigger kids' swings were and the picnic tables began, there was a long bench that ran east to west at the south side of that structure. And it seemed to me, and you can see it on the video, that it was from that bench north has been burnt to a crisp. It's nothing but charcoal out there right now. It came down very, very quickly. Everything from the south of that bench appears, when I left, to be perfectly fine, no damage whatsoever. So the swings are still there. I've been getting a lot of calls about when this was originally built back in 1995. There was a fundraising effort where I guess they let kids put their handprints on tiles, and those were placed in the park. Well, I know there's a bunch of them on the south side of the park, and as far as I can tell, none of those were damaged. The ones on the north side of the park, however, I would assume are completely gone. I haven't seen them myself. I haven't had a chance to get back up there today. I do know that the city has put out a couple of press releases. One of them said, for people that are interested in memorabilia from Kids Kingdom, that as soon as it is available to get those items, that they will be made available and announcements will be made in that regard. So I've already gotten a couple of messages and questions on my Facebook page about those handprints. And, you know, when grandma says, hey, my grandkids' handprints are out there, were they destroyed? And the only answer I could give her was, if it's on the north side, probably. If it's on the south side, probably not. So either way, Kids Kingdom is gone. For all intents and purposes, it's completely gone. Very, very busy today, day-to-day news-wise, because, of course, the police were there, the fire department was there. I don't know if they've arrived yet, or they're coming down over the weekend, or what's going to happen with that. But I do know that I was told by the deputy chief, and the chief for that matter, that the state, and I think the chief of the fire department as well, all told me that the state fire inspector was going to come down and do an arson investigation. Now, let me be clear about the word arson, because that has been thrown around on Facebook so much today. You know, as much as I use social media, there are days like today that it gets a little old, and I'll make more comments about that later. But from the very beginning, people were stating almost factually that it had to be arson because of how quickly it lit up. There was one person posting out there that they were there when it happened, and they saw it was started with gasoline. There were many different reports that are out there. What I do know, because I personally spoke to the chief of police just about 2 hours ago, is that there has been no determination. In fact, that was a press release put out by the fire department on the Alamogordo Police Department's Facebook page. There has been no determination whatsoever as to how that fire began. I think we can pretty much assume it wasn't a lightning strike because there was no rain or clouds at the time. There are electrical wires that go across that, though I don't think there's any wiring in the park itself, but over the top of it, I believe there are. You could have the wind going and a tree branch fell and something ignited that way. That wood that park was built from is very old, very dried out. And as a result, somebody could have been smoking in that area and it could have gone off, or it could have been arson, and about 10 different options on how it was arson and how it got ignited. There is no telling how it was done at this point in time. I do know that the appropriate people are investigating it. So anyone at this time throwing around the word arson doesn't have the facts as of right now. As soon as those facts are released, I'm on the media list. I'll make sure that I get that out to Alamogordo as quickly as possible. Other than that, but they will do an arson investigation because it is an unknown cause for this fire, which is why it has to be investigated. Now, if they conclude it was natural causes or accidental or anything, well, that's one thing. And if it ends up being actual arson, then that will be determined and announced. There was also some kids were posting around today that one kid's dad, who's a cop, said that two suspects were in custody. Again, I confirmed that with the chief of police, and at this time, no suspects are in custody or being looked for because they don't have that information as of yet. So, as of 9:20 p.m. on Friday evening, that is the information that is available about the Kids Kingdom fire that occurred this morning. Of course, you know how things operate. By the time my show airs tomorrow morning, everything I just said could be false, and we might have people in custody, or we might know it was a cigarette or whatever that happened. Please, it's just really frustrating to me to watch people make assumptions about this kind of stuff. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to hit one of our sponsors, do a quick commercial break. When I come back, I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit more about the Facebook reactions and two GoFundMe pages that did come up today, one of which I was involved in the creation of, and I want to make it clear to my listeners and all of you out there exactly what the intent of those pages were. So let's hit a commercial, and we will be right back.
Did you break down in the Big Basin and do you need a tow? Well, the best towing service in the Big Basin and surrounding area is 54 Towing. Amy and Jean-Paul have the trucks and expertise for whatever your towing needs are. From smart cars to semis, they will get it done. And if you're looking for a hard-to-find park for your ride, they also operate North 54 Salvage, the best salvage yard in Alamogordo. Just remember their slogan, we don't want an arm and a leg, we just want your tows. You can contact them at 575-585-9097. That's 575-585-9097. Tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
And as a reminder, Amy and John Paul just recently won the 2016, I believe it was, Best of Otero County in the Daily Newspaper for their towing service. And they are just awesome people. The efforts that they do for our community are, you will never know how involved those two are. They're just amazing, and they were definitely central in all of the recent tragedy we had with the fallen officer, Officer Corvinus. Great people, and if you need towing service, I would definitely go to them. So let's now talk about social media, which, once again, we had a lot of fun with today, or not. When I got up there, started the live stream, and as soon as I started that live stream, from Kids Kingdom, people started jumping on the stream, watching what was going on, and of course commenting. And as I mentioned in the first segment, the amount of I wanted to call this show either No Good Deed Goes Unpunished or Conspiracy Theorist Heaven, or in a couple of cases, are you really saying that? everybody, that had to be arson. It had to be started this way. It had to be started that way. We're talking people not even in the state are making comments of that nature. One person with a page that looked anonymous, I couldn't even find any information about that person, was saying that they were there and they got there about a minute after it started, and that it was started with gas. And as far as I can tell, nobody was ever able to determine if that person was even a real person that existed. Another person I was very impressed with and banned him from Those Who Show Up Decide, which, by the way, takes a lot of effort to do. That person posted on two separate occasions that it was ISIS, the Islamic terrorist organization, that did it. Apparently some people think the most bizarre things are funny. So I responded, I didn't think anything about it. What he was saying was humorous at all. And after I saw the second one of his posts and some other comments that he made, I decided he didn't need to be on Those Who Show Up Decide. Which, just as a quick aside, I think by now it's probably up to about 15 people in the last 4 years I've banned from my page, Those Who Show Up Decide. I encourage disagreement. I encourage debate. I just have a couple of easy rules about that on the Facebook page. Rule number one is don't make it personal. Don't start cussing out other people. Don't start cussing at me. Don't question each other's integrity or intelligence. I won't tolerate it. Okay, if you want to do that, there are plenty of pages you can go be a troll on and do that. If you want to have a reasoned debate about the facts and the issues, well, then please get on my page, especially if you disagree with me, and let me know what you think about whatever the subject is, whatever subject I've talked about here on this show. Because I'm really sincerely interested in what you have to say, and there have been many occasions where people have changed my harebrained opinions. The rules for my journalism on my page is that, number one, I do everything I can to get the facts correct when I post them, and I post the facts up front. Then, very obviously and usually with the preface of, in my opinion, I then analyze my opinion of whatever that set of facts were, whatever that information was. And I offer you what I think about that, whatever the subject may be. And guess what? You don't have to read my opinion. And guess what? You don't have to agree with my opinion. If you don't like it, unlike the page. If you don't like it, scroll past it, okay? You can even block any post I put anywhere. You can put block, and then you personally will never see my posts again, okay? Other people on whatever page I posted on will see it. But when it comes to that, all those pages have their own admins. And those admins, if I am not meeting the community standards of whatever your particular page is, I encourage you to send me a message and tell me where I violated it. And if I can make an adjustment, I will. If I can't, then I'll unjoin your page myself out of respect for whatever you are doing. What I do know is that I get many comments in return on those pages basically saying thank you for the information I provide. And I provide it as a free service. I don't look for thanks. I don't look for accolades or kudos in it. I think that I have a lot of context and I get a lot of information and I know a lot of history about the city. And so I think I serve a purpose here. People have called me the watchdog of Alamogordo, the conscience of Alamogordo. I would agree with watchdogging. I go to every commission meeting and I watch what they do and I report on it. A lot of times I agree with it, sometimes I don't, and we just work through those processes. But either way, I encourage whoever's listening to this, if you don't like something I've said, please post it. Let me know. Let's talk about it, okay? But the minute it gets ugly or like posting that it's ISIS that burned it down, I don't think you have any reason to be on the page, and I will block you. And being that it's my page, I can do that. Then let's move on to the next comment that I enjoyed quite a bit, and it was that during the talk, during the conversation and description I was giving, I mentioned a couple of times, and this is true, I've got the emails to back it up, and the community service person, service director, Ronnie Ortega knows this, Eric Marion, I think his name is, the parks director knows this, I've exchanged emails with him. I have been looking into what organization, is there a nonprofit to replace that Kids Kingdom for a very long time? I've been thinking about it for over a year. I started actively trying to engage in it in the last, I want to say, 3-4 months. And in fact, when a position opened up on the Parks and Recs board for the city, I volunteered, and Mayor Boss was kind enough to appoint me to that position. And my intent was completely to see what could be done to improve all of the parks for our children, for our grandchildren in our city. But specifically, I was targeting Kids Kingdom because it is, and I've spoken to parks people about it, it is by far the oldest structure we have. It is, it was completely made out of wood, obviously, from the way it burned down. And it was becoming extremely dangerous and was the primary park that my granddaughter played in. So for purely selfish reasons, for my granddaughter and your children and grandchildren, that's why I started engaging in this a few months ago. Now, that's not meant as bragging. That is meant as I'm a citizen. I saw a need. I wanted to see what I can do about getting involved in fixing that need. Hadn't brought it up on the show yet because we hadn't gotten anywhere with it. We've just been barely touching into it. In fact, the board hasn't even had a meeting yet that I could attend to see what the current Parks Board is doing and see how I could assist them. Not take over, figure out what they're doing, and then jump on that bandwagon and help. So, but the humorous accusation today was that I personally burnt that thing to the ground so that when it was rebuilt, that we could get my name, Chez's name, on the park. That really blew my mind. As I said earlier, I think I'm on video in Lowe's Grocery buying a gallon of milk at the time that thing started. I'm pretty sure I didn't light it on fire. The next most stupid thing that came out on Facebook, and what's really crazy, is I saw it by several people. I want to say around 3 or 4. Okay, so maybe a few people would be more accurate. Okay, there were people actually posting out there on the threads I was looking at saying that the city itself, the city of Alamogordo itself, probably intentionally burnt it down so that we could replace it. Really? The city went out there, poured gas on it, and lit it up. I don't know which one's more ridiculous. ISIS did it, I did it, or the city did it. I mean, I gotta ask you guys, okay, if somebody could post on my page and explain to me, where do you come up with this stuff? I mean, you know, you really don't want to antagonize people that come up with ideas that out of control. But seriously, you guys need to get back on your meds. I don't know, you know, and being that this is my show, guess what? I'm just going to say how I feel. And if I've offended somebody out there, then either tell me about it or unlike me. Don't listen to the show. But some of you guys need to really get back on your meds because you're off the hook. People that post, it looks like arson, I understand that comment. That's not unreasonable. And I'll tell you, I was there. It looked like arson. I don't know how something that big could go up in seconds to a fully engulfed situation without there being some type of intentional combustible gas or something put out there. So what's my opinion? My opinion is probably is arson. Probably that's the result we're going to find. But I'm not reporting that. I'm not even speculating on that because I don't know. I'm a guy standing there with a camera. You guys are ones that were watching it through my camera. I respect what it looks like. I even agree that it probably looks like that. But until the state fire inspector tells me such, I'm not going to go there. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that it's arson. I think it's insane to think that the city burnt it down purposely. I think it's insane to think that ISIS did it. Okay? I mean, and it, if you were joking when you said it, then you're a really sick person when you realize the 21 plus years of history, the thousands of man hours, and I believe the cost that was quoted in the paper was that when it was originally turned over to the city, it was valued at something like $750,000, what they did to build that property. The amount of effort this community put in to build that for our children, was epic, was amazing. and that it's lasted 21 years was great, and I had no disrespect for the effort that was done, but anybody that's been up there knows that there were screws coming out, and I personally got injured on it two, 3 months ago. I was walking up one of their chain staircases that are supposed to wobble, helping my granddaughter go up the stairs, and the back chains on one of those steps had become unhooked, and it was like a trap door. I slid down and smashed both my shins on it. I still got a mark on one of my shins. This is why I felt we needed to work on a massive repair or replace. In fact, just within, I think it was the last month and a half, the Big Give people out at Holloman came out there, did a huge amount of repainting and refurbishment to the best that they were able to do on Kids Kingdom. Great effort by those Big Give people. But it still didn't change the inherent danger of the park, which was shown today, which was the wood was old, dried out, and it was ready to go. And it was a very large safety hazard. And however it did catch on fire today, it was completely engulfed almost immediately. Some of the pictures I've seen from it today are just horrendous. But this isn't the time or the place at this point for speculation. Let's see. Next thing, so we speculated about Facebook. I was going to tell you about GoFundMe. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to insert a quick commercial here. I've got a new sponsor for those who show up beside, so I'm going to make a comment about that gentleman right now. And when I'm done with that, we will talk about the GoFundMe scandal of today. So, for my new sponsor, it's a good friend of mine, served with him while I was in the military. He's a retired mass sergeant, disabled veteran. His name is Art, and he is with a company he owns, Art's Landscaping and Hauling. Now, I've been looking around. I don't see his Facebook page, but he's got a bright white truck, and in bright yellow and black letters, it says Art's Landscaping and Hauling. His phone number is 575-442-3209. That's 575-442-3209. As I said, been a friend of mine for years. Of course, that might not necessarily be a good thing as a recommendation, but he takes care of my yard personally, and his work is absolutely quality, absolutely top-notch, and he will give you the fairest price that you can have for your landscaping services. So I strongly recommend my good friend Art Rowe of Art's Landscaping and Hauling for your landscaping, hauling, mowing, etc. needs. Okay, back from that commercial, and now let's move on to the GoFundMe scandal. As the video feed was developing this morning, almost immediately, I mean, the fire is still going. The firefighters have, at this point, had pretty much put out the main bulk of the fire, but they were still putting out hot spots, and those hot spots were flaring back up. The type of wood the wood structure itself, you could easily, especially in some of those larger beams, the railroad ties and stuff that were out there, you could have fires burning on the inside of those logs, etc., whereas the outside looks fine. You have smoke coming out from the middle of it, and it takes a while to get all that out. So, even while the fire was still burning, requests started appearing in the feed of the video that I was monitoring about, is there a GoFundMe page set up? The thing hadn't even caught fire for an hour, and those questions were out there. Okay, I appreciate that. And in today's world of the 24-hour news cycle, excuse me, and people wanting to immediately jump on board with something and try to get things done, I had people saying, I'm going to come down there and help rebuild it and sign me up. And, I mean, really great, enthusiastic citizens just wanting to jump in. There were people from Ruidoso saying they wanted to jump in and help rebuild. While the video itself was going on, a good friend of mine, he runs Porky's Heating and Air. His name is, I think it's John McClug. He goes by Porky. He himself set up a page. I mean, the fire was still going. He set up a GoFundMe page out there. You can go to GoFundMe, the website itself, and just type in Alamogordo's zip code, 88310, and it'll bring up all of the 300-something GoFundMe pages within our zip code, two of them being for the Kids Kingdom fire. So Porky set one of them up and said that he wanted to start raising money to help rebuild this iconic landmark. I wasn't aware that he was setting his page up at that time, and I said over the live stream that if anybody was interested in setting that up, please message me, and we would start getting that set up so that when the time came for the city to engage in the rebuild of this, that there were private funds available. When I had been talking to the city about tearing down the old structure and rebuilding it, that was going to have to almost be exclusively funded privately because the city simply doesn't have the money. We have a $2 million deficit right now. We're looking at a very serious situation with the rec center pool to put a cover on that, which depending on the cost estimate, could be something like $500,000 this year alone to put a new bubble on it and then maintain that bubble over the next 20 or so years would be another $1 million. Or they're going to build a hardened structure, which that hardened structure alone could go all the way up if it's from metal to brick and mortar, anywhere from $1 million to $2 million to do that. Either way, I don't believe from somebody who watches the city commission meetings every time and live broadcast them, city doesn't have the money to do that. Now, since then this afternoon, we found out that there is insurance involved in this, so there will be money recouped, though I assume it will be prorated based on the age of the structure. So we're not going to get the $750,000 back. That is an opinion. But we will see what happens. I highly doubt we'll get that amount of money back to rebuild it. We will get, I'm sure, quite a bit of money. But at the same time, then the city has to find money. There's also huge grant money out there to build city parks of this type. There's a lot of options available to do that. Okay. And so with all of those options and availabilities, the idea on the part of myself, a very nice lady, Daniel Stonecipher, who actually set up the page, I wanted to make sure that the Those Who Show page had no financial connection to it. I wanted to do everything I can to support it, to help organize it. Whatever I can do, whatever resources I can bring to bear, I'm going to do that. But I wanted somebody else to be the treasurer and handle the money. So Daniel set that up very kindly, and I appreciate her efforts in doing that. Simultaneously, Porky set his up. By midday, and again, that was at the request that were pouring in on that video stream, asking, is there a page set up and where can we donate? Okay. So very rapidly after that, the city put out a press release talking about the fire and that the city was not taking donations. On neither of these two pages did it say in any way, shape, or form that we were the city taking those donations. So wherever that rumor got started, it's absolutely false. You can look at both pages and you'll see that it never said that. It was citizens attempting to get ready to support the city in whatever effort they were going to do and get the ball rolling. So the city put out a statement that they weren't accepting volunteers, they weren't accepting donations, and that they were not associated with any GoFundMe pages, which I then shared across all of the pages I normally share on. That's when the accusations started coming in and statements being posted out there saying that don't get scammed, don't donate to this. Just because the city wasn't setting up a GoFundMe page does not necessarily make it a scam. And as I said, I know about both of these pages individually, and neither of them were scams. There are only two Kids Kingdom pages out there right now on GoFundMe, and one was set up with my assistance, and the other one was set up by a good friend of mine. Okay. I think if you added both pages together, I think both collected somewhere around $450 at this point. Also at this point, both of those pages have stopped accepting donations because of the rumors of scams and etc. What the intent with both of those pages are right now is to stop accepting donations. If anyone who has donated wants their money back, please message to that page that you want your money back, and it will be sent back to you as quickly as possible. It's just a matter of determining how to refund money through GoFundMe, but you will get your money back. Now, if you donated and you want to leave your money on those pages for now, that's also fine, because we're just basically going to leave that money on the on those GoFundMe pages, not transfer to any bank accounts, and it will stay right there until such time as the city does determine what needs to be done and if it's appropriate to raise private funds, which I am expecting to be something that they're going to need to do. So what'll happen there is, if the money, whatever money is still there at the time the city makes a determination as to what to do, they will move forward immediately with we will move forward immediately with providing those funds to the city and putting out there that these particular GoFundMe pages are legitimately collecting money to assist the city and blah 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 blah. And then if for some reason we never have to do an actual real fundraiser for it, then what little money is on those pages, which is much appreciated, every dollar helps, what'll happen is we'll find some way to donate that money to the park itself, to Kids Kingdom in some way, shape, or form. And or if not, either way, we will post exactly where that money went and get a receipt for it so everybody knows it's completely on the up and up. Nobody is going to Red Lobster on that money. And it's, you know, it's really sad in this day that disasters happen and people do set up fraudulent GoFundMe, fundraiser, etc. pages, and they attempt to profit off of it. It's a really sad state of our society that that happens. So I understand the concerns of people, and you know, as to whether or not these pages were appropriate, justified, etc. or not. They are. It's up to you to decide what you want to do. Like I said, we do not want to collect any money until the city has figured out what they are going to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to pay another bill real quick. And as soon as we get done with that, I've got some statements that I've received from several of our local elected officials in regards to the incident at Kids Kingdom. And I will read those to you. And who knows, by the end of the show, we might actually get back to something not completely ridiculous and horrific as what we have been doing for the last few weeks. So let's hit a commercial and we'll be right back.
MDC Computers on the corner of White Sands Boulevard and 12th Street is the only place in town that meets Master Sergeant Chez's computer needs. Devin and Chris repair computers, clean viruses, transfer data, sell new and used computer equipment, and have the knowledge and reasonable pricing to solve just about all of your computer issues and needs. You can contact them at 575-437-7600. That's 575-437-7600. And tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
So now let's hit some of the statements that I've received from some of our local officials. If you watched the video this morning, you will have barely heard, unfortunately, because of all the noise out there, but you will have barely heard that... Mayor Boss, I interviewed him on the scene. He was there virtually immediately, very shortly after I got there. And I did get to speak to him. Now, obviously, he didn't have any official statement to make, except that he had taken his kids and grandkids there for many, many years. He remembered when it was built and that it was a true loss to our city, and that obviously he was very interested in engaging as quickly as possible in not just getting the old structure out of the way, but getting it rebuilt. He had a lot of compliments, well-deserved compliments, for our firefighters and our police that were there on the scene almost immediately. It's a sad situation, but he was very impressed with how our first responder departments were taking care of the situation. So that pretty much summed up the words I got to speak with Mayor Boss. I also spoke for a while with Commissioner Payne, District 3. And all of these comments, let me make sure it's clear, are not statements from the commission. These are personal statements by these individuals. Of course, the city staff will be developing the plans and what to do next with Kids Kingdom, how to move forward. And then the commission will have, obviously, the responsibility to vote on whatever that action may be. But these statements are just statements from the individuals. In speaking with Commissioner Payne, she sent me a statement that said, "I was saddened to hear about the news of the destruction of Kids Kingdom early this morning. My two older children actually had tiles with their handprints on them, and it was a practice of ours to look for them whenever we went there for different events or when we took our grandchildren there to play. I'm just very thankful that there were no children present and no one was injured. It's these things in which we should find comfort. The structure can always be replaced, but you can't put a price on human life. I personally believe our community is strong, and I look forward to seeing us all come together in the future once a decision is made on how to proceed. Until then, I think we just need to allow the various agencies to complete their investigation." That was from District 3 Commissioner Susan Payne. And I absolutely agree with her words in that regard. We also have a statement from Commissioner Jenny Turnbull. Let me see if I can figure out where hers were. Hers is very short and to the point. What she said was that we are all so saddened by the destruction of such a happy place. I hope we can rebuild it to ensure families for years to come have a wonderful and safe place to play. And that is from District 4 Commissioner Jenny Turnbull, who I know happens to live within spitting distance of Kids Kingdom. She's right, I believe her house is on Oregon. So, I mean, she could absolutely look right out her window and see what occurred. Definitely difficult for Jenny, being that it happened right there in her district. I also have one last comment. Where is it? There it is. This comment is from the presumptive District 3, County District 3 Commissioner, Miss Lori Bees. As we know, she did win her primary for the District 3 Commission seat, and she is running unopposed in the general election in November. She should be sworn into office, I believe, in January. Asked her, obviously not as a county commissioner, but a presumptive one, what her thoughts were. And what she sent me was, "In a time when our citizens are still in mourning for the loss of a hero, our children are now suffering a loss as well. This iconic structure has entertained our youth for decades. It was built from the heart of this community, and the rebuild will be similar, I'm sure. I'm as devastated as everyone, as my own son, now turning 20, also played on this landmark, and I know my family will support and assist in its reconstruction. My heart again is with this community as we mourn this new loss." And she noted that it's just very sad. That is from the presumptive District 3 County District, Otero County District 3 Commissioner Lori Bees, a good friend of mine. So obviously the heartfelt concerns are coming in from our elected officials. And I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that all of our elected officials at the city, county, state levels will come together to do everything they can to bring appropriate grant money, capital outlay money, whatever's available, and bring that to bear on Kids Kingdom. It was just such an iconic landmark. I took my daughter there several times before when she first came to live with me when I first came here in 2005. And of course, since my granddaughter was born, we were out there constantly. I don't know if I mentioned this early in the show, but as I think I did say that my granddaughter actually saw the fire. She her dad brought her up the block to see what was going on, and there it was. I don't think she really understands what happened. She knows that it burnt down. She knows that it caught on fire. But at 3 years old, I don't think she fully understands that. I literally have hundreds of pictures of her playing in that park. And so after I was done broadcasting, I went back to speak to her and give her a hug and a kiss. And I said, "Do you know what happened to the park?" And she said, "Yeah, the park caught on fire and burned down." And she understood that, but she wasn't that emotional about it. But I promised her that there were plenty of other parks that we could play in the meantime, and she was happy about that. And I promised her that that I would do everything I could, and this is a grandpa promising a granddaughter, this isn't Chez speaking for the city, but as a grandpa, I promised her that we were going to find a way to build her a new park. And she said, oh, you're going to build me a new park? She's 3 years old. What do you think? and so I said, yes, but you have to share it with the other children. And she said, okay, Papa, I'll share it. So, yeah, we're going to work on getting my granddaughter a new park. Okay, so what's next? We've talked about the city officials and their comments. We've talked about the GoFundMe fiascos. We've talked about the insane talk out on Facebook of how ISIS apparently invaded Alamogordo today and burnt down Kids Kingdom. We've got about 15 minutes left, a little less in the show. I'm going to try to hit on some national topics and maybe even the 1001 dumbest things ever said. I might even get that in. We'll do our last commercial for my friends over at Most Wanted here in just a second. It's been a rough month for us here in the Big Basin. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, and please do not try to connect any dots with this, with the conspiracies. There are plenty of them out there. We don't need extra. But this is 3 weeks, exactly 3 weeks, from when Officer Corvinus and Joseph Moreno were both shot and killed. 3 weeks to the day, almost to the hour, from when that incident occurred. And we had just gotten past, there were still, I think I mentioned this earlier, still fundraisers that are going on that I'll be posting on my page for the Corvinus family going on. And now we have to recover from this. And I'm not sure how that gets done. I don't know. It's just very sad. It's just been a very tough month for us. So, I think what we could use, whether you're in the Big Basin or in the national audience, how about throwing up a prayer for us here in Alamogordo? We've had a tough month, and we could use a break here. We could definitely use a break. And as I'll mention here in a moment, our entire country could use a break. So let's hit that commercial from my buddies over at Most Wanted, and when we get back, we'll try to talk about something else. Thank you.
Are you too busy to wash your ride? Did the soccer team go nuts with soda and Frito chips in the minivan? Are you selling your ride and want it to look awesome? Or do you just want to look awesome? Well, Louie, Chris, and the guys are the best mobile detailers in town. They'll come to your work or home and detail your smart car through RV, your kids' tricycle through construction vehicles. If it's got wheels, wings, or floats, Most Wanted Mobile Detail are the guys to call. You can reach Louie at 575-415-0256. That's 575-415-0256. Most Wanted Mobile Detail. Tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
And now, considering the fact that I'm actually recording this the night before, you wouldn't think I had a late-breaking update, but I actually do. While I've been recording this show, I've been communicating with others of our local officials, etc. And I actually just got in an additional statement from another one of our city commissioners, District 6 City Commissioner Erica Martin. She's actually out of town. I don't know if she left today or yesterday, but she's out of town right now, and must have been today because you'll hear a statement in a second. And I did get a hold of her and ask her if she had something she wanted to share with the community, and she sent this, and I'll read it exactly as she said it. And I, unfortunately, in today's world, the statement she opens with is what we have to open with because of previous things that have occurred, and she starts with, well, let me begin with, this is my personal statement, opinions, and by no means does she intend to speak for the rest of the commission. Then she goes on to say, in hearing the news today, I got up out of my seat in a busy airport to try to find a quiet place to hear, because I could not believe what I was hearing. As a mother of small children, my heart was broken. Kids Kingdom means a lot to so many in our community, myself included. I am shocked, angry, and so very sad. I believe, though, the difference between a good community and a great community is how we respond to adversity. And just as we have in recent weeks, we will rise above this tragedy. That is District 6, City District 6 Commissioner Erica Martin. speaking to us from where she's at on her trip. In chatting with her back and forth on Facebook, she mentioned she actually initially didn't really want to make the comment, except I told her I was putting the comments into my show this morning. And the reason she didn't want to make the comment is specifically because she wanted to get back and see it for herself. And I don't think she's going to be back till Sunday or Monday. But I do know for a fact that, you know, she's made it clear to me that when she gets back, she's, as soon as she's settled in, going to get up to Kids Kingdom and tour what's left of it herself, and hopefully try to assess it for her own thoughts and opinions, so that when the city staff brings proposals for improvements and what the next step is, when that's brought to the commission, Commissioner Martin will have seen it for herself what the damage is. I know that she's watched the videos and all the other stuff on Facebook as she's been traveling today, and she made it clear it was she's heartbroken and angry and sad, and you know, you have to expect that kind of reaction. So let's see if I can discover something else in the world that we can talk about besides this. This has just been such a rough month for us here in the Big Basin. Going to go out to my usual Fox News. I want to give you a lost and restored faith. I don't have that tonight. I don't have the, I don't have the Our Flag today for you guys. Just too much news to broadcast. I'll mention that we're into, according to Fox News, the fourth night of protests in Charlotte over the shooting of an individual there, and there's many conflicting stories in that particular shooting as to how that occurred and whether the civilian that was shot by the officer was injured or was armed or not. There's conflicting stories about that, and we're waiting for the video to come out. I did read another story about an officer in Oklahoma. I'm trying to find it right now, and I don't see it right away, but an officer in Oklahoma was charged, I think it was today or yesterday, with manslaughter, I believe was. I don't think it was murder. I think it was manslaughter in relationship to the shooting of an unarmed man in Tulsa. Police shootings are absolutely, and I don't intend to make light of this with today's events, but it's absolutely a powder keg. In fact, I read another story today where an officer was testifying that he encountered an individual that later on was shot in an incident, and that police officer in the first incident said he did not shoot or overreact to that individual that ended up getting involved in a major incident later because he was concerned about the way it would play in the media if he was the one that shot that individual. Our police officers have to second guess every single moment that they are on duty, and off duty for that matter. These guys and gals, they put on their body armor, they suit up, and they go out there. And they're driving down the street, and maybe there's a warrant out for an individual, and they spot that person because they know what he looks like or whatever, and they chase him down, and suddenly there's an incident. Maybe somebody has a broken taillight. They pull them over for that, and maybe that goes badly because of misunderstandings, miscommunications, etc. I am not saying that there are no bad police. Obviously there are. I am not saying that there are no bad decisions made in the heat of the moment, but you really ought to go on on YouTube as an individual and look at a lot of the scenarios that are out there on YouTube. Type in shoot or don't shoot, I think would be the right way, or Google shoot or don't shoot, and you'll see that there is regular training for even civilians in a lot of the bigger cities where they bring in community activists that do a lot of complaining about, you know, police decisions in the heat of the moment, and they put them through a training to decide whether they should shoot or not shoot in a particular scenario. And you would not believe, I've never been involved in that, thank you God, but you would not believe the intensity of that moment and how you could be serving on the police force for 30 years and never have even drawn your gun and no less shot anybody, and walk out the door that morning, get in your car, pull somebody over for speeding, and suddenly you're involved in the shootout of the century, and you had no idea that was coming. And you have to deal with it, you have to react to it, you have to protect the public, you have to protect yourself, you have to protect your partner, and hopefully apprehend if that person is a criminal and guilty of something, apprehend that person. And do it all safely, don't injure anybody, and just pray for the best in that scenario. And it is such an... I don't know why people become police officers. I mean, I get the idea that they want to serve. That's why I joined the military, because I wanted to serve. So I understand that. But the rules on a battlefield and the rules on the streets of America, or any city for that matter, are drastically different. And that a police officer has to make in a zillionth of a second decisions that attorneys and public and community organizers and mayors and the police chief and the media are going to rip apart and look at every millisecond of that decision for years to come after that. I don't know that I could be a police officer. Certainly not in today's society. It is so difficult. And I have nothing but love and admiration for every one of them. And that's my commentary on police. I'm not commenting on any particular incident, such as the Charlotte one. Except I'm going to say this. A lot of the riots that have occurred in the past few years, from Ferguson to Baltimore to now Charlotte, I've seen this commentary out there, and I have to question it and agree with the idea behind it myself. When these neighborhoods blow up over frustration with what they believe police violence and abuse on minorities, be it Black, Hispanic, etc., and these areas of various cities blow up and there's rioting and there's looting, I don't understand how burning down your own neighborhood, how breaking into your own Walmart helps your cause at all. I understand marches. I understand protests. I don't understand shooting people in the crowd. I don't understand looting your neighborhood over it, because you're only costing your own neighbors and businesses damage, and you're only causing damage and injury and possibly even death within your own neighborhoods. I get that maybe that's the only way they think they can make that statement and get in the national news, but it's still damaging your own place and your own people. It's I don't understand the concept behind it. I understand the anger. I don't understand the damage that's caused. From what I saw this morning, obviously got to give a huge shout out to the Alamogordo Fire Department and Police Department. The police were backing up the cops. The police were backing up the firefighters all the way. The firefighters out there in their bunker gear, sweating like maniacs. Chief Ward had them rotating through the fire. They had to wear their bunker gear, their masks, the whole nine yards, and it's like 150 pounds of stuff. You wouldn't want to be out in the middle of winter wearing that stuff. Forget about in the end of summer and in a huge fire like that was, but they absolutely did their standard issue, normal, perfect job. Folks, it's been a rough month around here. Please take care of each other. God bless you. God bless Alamogordo. God bless America.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Those Who Show Up Decide with Alamogordo's very own privately commissioned Jim Henson creation. I'm talking about none other than that towering and talkative Alamogordian activist, Paul Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez. Before we leave, don't forget to send your Chez Bomb cereal box tops, request for autographed portraits, wage garnishments, and restraining orders to thosewhoshow@hotmail.com. This has been Those Who Show Up Decide.